okay with Jana Miley, the writer, the producer, the star of Little Issues, a 4-minute film played at the festival. Really interesting film. It depends on who's watching it, but, no. It's basically it's in the title, Little Issues. You bring home a boy. I guess you've been dating him, and he's got a small penis. But I'm just gonna let it out there, right?
Yeah. That's the basis of what happens.
Is this autobiographical or?
No, that's always everyone's
Sure.
first question. No, this I wanted to make a project that was fun for me. Just want to make content for myself and my friends, and remembered a story my friend had told a year or two before about encountering someone with a micropenis. And from that, the idea was born. This conversation did not go the same way my friend's conversation went, but that was kind of what inspired the idea. And I've had a lot of people approach me since seeing the film and tell me their experiences, which has been very
So you could make a documentary about it then. You could
fun.
make a documentary about
You
it.
could. I'm there may even be some. I haven't gone down that rabbit hole yet, but
I was gonna try to make a joke from the rabbit hole, but okay. So even, but it's almost in a sense where like even if this was autobiographical, you kind of are forced to lie a little bit because people can kind of like figure out the path. You know what I mean? Like it's, I'm sure that. That basically the person who you who is it's about would figure it out who they are, I guess, right? So you don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, so I definitely didn't include any details from like my friend's encounter. The conversation was very different. You know, this was her telling us weeks later. This wasn't like someone is next to us in the room doing this. So I don't know. She may just because she knows that she's told me that story, but I think I safely went far enough away that no one would be upset that I made this.
Okay, so let's talk about the film itself. So you wrote the screenplay, and was it always your idea to make it into a movie?
Yeah, so I wrote this as a short film when I was in college, and just again wanted to make something fun and cast me and my friends in. And we shot it, and no matter how many times we edited it, I just wasn't happy with the product. So I set it aside for a couple of years, brought it back, tried to have different friends edit it, was still not happy. Just different things went wrong with the shoot, and there were sound issues. We didn't get the shots we wanted. And so I was like, screw it, I'm going to start again with the people I know now, now that I'm living in a totally different city and know different people. And rewrote the script and changed some jokes around and reshot it. And I'm very happy with the final product.
And you're the only, like, you're the last person, like, you had nobody else said who was part of the previous film was a part of
No,
this film.
yeah, no one from the first lot was a part of this
That's
second one.
amazing that you kept on, you stuck to this idea, I guess.
Yeah, I thought of all the things that I wrote and played around with in college, it was interesting that this is the one that really stuck with me. But it was where I was like, this is cute and funny. Like, this needs to be made.
Is there something more profound that you're trying to say in the film, though?
Oh yeah. I mean, the whole thing is about accepting someone who's different than what you're used to and what the normal is. And it's this difference isn't necessarily bad. We've just Because we're so not used to it, we perceive it as bad, where it's like, no, it's just different and that's okay. And, you know, someone could judge you for this thing that makes you different, but you know that they shouldn't, you know, like when he comments on, like, you have small boobs, what do you care if he has a small penis? And it's like, oh, well, but we're not allowed to make fun of women for having small boobs, but like, why are we allowed to make fun of men for having small penises? And so just sort of that underlying, like, we should just accept people based on who they are, and like you're really enjoying this relationship and all of these aspects, you know, maybe this can you can figure this out.
Okay, it's interesting that because like the penis is a very sensitive subject for men, and it's something that we think about. It's something that's a part of us. Like, all you have to do is go to a big city and you see all kinds of penises, right? So basically, it's part of our, no, seriously, it's like everything is shaped like a penis, right?
That
And
took me a second. I didn't know you meant skyscrapers. I thought you just meant when you go party with new people in big city, but I'm following now.
The sports stadiums are vaginas and the skyscrapers are penises, right?
Wow. I've lived in New York and Los Angeles, two of the biggest cities, and I've never made that connection, but thank you.
Yeah. All you
That's
have to do is
neat.
see Toronto, see the skyscraper from there,
Ah.
right? CN Tower and the Sky Dome,
Perfect.
right?
On my list. On my list.
Okay, so basically, but like it's like, listen, there's a symbolism. Like there's a lot of ways to create buildings, but they created it with one big stick up in the air, right? So no, but it's a big thing with the male. So
Yeah.
in a way, you kind of want to like you're kind of making fun of this guy at the beginning, I guess, right? So
Yeah,
and
and because a lot of people, like people with micropenises, obviously get a lot of jokes, and even just small, you know, the whole Donald Trump in his hands comparison, like people make fun of small penises. So we want to, I wanted to like incorporate that without it being the film making fun of this person. And that's why I really wanted to turn it and make it and have them really kind of change their ideas of what's happening by the end.
But it seems like the character, the way like it's good that it's great that you didn't really show him, right? And but it seems like the character itself, like he's showing his penis to his friend, to her friend. It seems like he's not too ashamed about who he is.
Well, he's covered. He's wearing a kimono that is just sort of, you're like, is it going to pop out? But, you know,
Yeah.
but yeah, I think that's also something to look at of like, he shouldn't be ashamed of it and he shouldn't be ashamed of his body. And, you know, he did wait until after foreplay to bring his penis out. That's like a big joke and kind of realization in their conversation. But I think, yeah, it shouldn't be this big, like, I need to tell you that I have this thing and I'm ashamed of it. You know, it shouldn't be that. It should
Yeah.
just be like, this is part of my body. This is what we're working with. The way you would, you know, it should be what anyone does
Yeah.
during sex for the first time with a new partner.
So you had me thinking like a couple like centuries ago, men would be married when they're like 15, 16 years old. They would be with the same partner forever. They wouldn't might not have even
Yeah.
known, right?
Yeah. Because there's also not media to really see and tell you there's a difference. You'd
Yeah.
have to just, you know, talk around the town. They
Yeah,
were
exactly.
blessed
Who's
back
gonna
then,
do
I guess.
that? Who's gonna do that,
Exactly.
right?
But they also, you know, they had like the knights, like the knight shining armor. They would like make little like penis holds for them too, when it's like, what is that really necessary in
Yeah.
the armor? You know.
We're all overcompensating, right? So,
Oh yeah.
but then again, they used to pee in troughs. So I guess they would like the men would like size each other up, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's probably always been a thing.
Yeah. No, because listen, it's a very sensitive subject for men. It's nothing that like men are gonna like talk about, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you know, like it's they are who they are, right? So I think you're onto something here. So is there like you made this film. It's less than 5 minutes. It's a great little comedy piece. Is there something that to take from this film? Like, do you want to like make more skits like or more movies like this, or what's your
Yeah, this is definitely the most like sketch like film or thing I've written. I've definitely straight. So since I wrote this in college and now being near 30, I am now 4 years sober. That's a new addition since I wrote this. And so I've noticed a lot of my writing now is about my journey in sobriety. And so then I have a couple shorts I'm working on now, but the main one I'm trying to focus on is another quick, probably more than 5 minutes, but comedy. But it is just about my being in the first few months of sobriety and what that looked like. But it is, not as much an ensemble piece, but it is still that like lighthearted comedy speaking about something that can be taboo and isn't talked about as often, but
Yeah.
is normal and common.
Well, congratulations on
Thank you.
that.
Thank
18
you.
years, so I understand what you're going through. So,
Yeah, hell yeah.
yeah, it's tough. So what forced you to do that?
To get sober or I mean, I hit many rock bottoms throughout my, and I started drinking at 16, got sober at 24. So it wasn't like a super long experience. But it was still being the party girl in college. And so that also, people don't really know you have a problem necessarily because it's just sort of like, oh, that's a phase that everyone's going through. And I would notice my friends were leaving that phase and didn't want to go out all the time, but I was still there and I was still thinking about alcohol all the time. And I would do different things. Like I would, try to control it by making sure I didn't have alcohol in the house, which was very difficult at first. Or, I'll only drink a couple days a week. I won't drink every day. And slowly realize like this is an actual addiction, this is a problem, but I'll worry about that down the road. I'll worry about that, when I'm an adult, like 40 years old, because that's my idea of an adult. And it was after I had moved to LA. I still hadn't even been here a year yet, and a lot of those old habits that I'd really tried to kick, like having alcohol in the house and blacking out every weekend, I was starting to do again. And just that, like, craving a drink in the middle of the day and like doing everything to organize my day so I could have a drink after work. And I was just like so sick of it. I was so tired of always thinking about drinking. And so when the pandemic hit and we had to go into quarantine, I was like, okay, cool. I'm not going to be working at this bar every day like I have been. I'll take this 2 weeks we're going to be in lockdown and not drink and see how it goes. And then obviously, quarantine kept getting extended, and I'm sober and I'm watching the world kind of crumble around me, but I'm like the most mentally sane I have ever been. Like I was just like the happiest and most just like content I had been while still dealing with, the mental hardships of like going through quarantine. But I was like, wow, this has affected me and my antidepressants and just like regular depression, anxiety. This has had such a worse effect than I realized. And so after I was at like, 40 something days, I worked a lot with my therapist who she had had like 15 years sober, then, and did a pros and cons of like, why would I go back to drinking? Because it was like, okay, things are letting up. I am going to start going around people again, do I want to start back? And it was just like, no, I can't go back at this point. So now I'm over 4 years sober.
That's a, well, thank you for sharing that, because I think a
Thank
lot of
you.
people can relate to what you just described too. And there's a lot of positive stories. Of course, nobody wanted it to happen with COVID that I've heard. I've been fortunate enough to hear, including myself, where I got a lot of clarity. There was a lot of peace. There was a lot less stress in my personal life. Of course, a lot of people were having major issues, but I think it helped a lot of people out. They were just able to like shut down and like calm down and like kind of find themselves, and not to sound flaky a little bit. So
Yeah. No, I get you. And it's one of those things where it's like I do like I was unemployed for about a year and a half. Like I definitely under like that was terrible. That
yeah.
sucked. Not being able to have like an actual income. And it also gave me enough free time. So one, like work on my sobriety and then find myself and find out that I had hobbies. I didn't know I liked doing crafts. And that was something I was able to discover. So that was, I can fully see the dichotomy of the good and bad that came out of that.
So you want to like make a write a story around like are you writing stories around that, but it's more of like
So,
a comedy kind of comedy like lens?
yeah, I had so in that was fall, I got sober March 2020. And so in the fall, I started writing what I was like, maybe I'll make a web series, maybe I'll do this. And I just, again, enjoying not having to go to like my service job and having this time to like actually be creative was wonderful. And allowed me to like, I started writing this series of just like different instances, like my first time going to a party and being around alcohol because, you know, we'd been on, like, I hadn't been to a party in 7 months because we'd been on lockdown. And so, and, you know, I love hearing everyone's experiences. And, but my experience of getting sober during COVID, where it's like AA was on Zoom, that's my experience. I didn't have to like pass bars or go and be around that the way a lot of people anytime before that would encounter because everything was shut down. So yeah, and just a way for me to kind of get back into writing because that was something I hadn't done as much since I had graduated college. And so just wanting to like use that again and no pressure on, I have to make this, I have to do something, but like let's just get it out and see what we like. And so I started that, and that was more of a comedy. And then I was working on a short film that I could incorporate singing because I grew up a singer. I've been a singer my whole life. And so I wanted to incorporate that. And that was definitely more of a drama. And so now I put that's up in the air. And then I started writing a book. And so I've been working on that. And that's like poetry and essays and photography and stuff like that. And so I'm writing that. And then I was like, oh wait, let's circle back. And I missed that web series I was writing. Maybe I could just do a short. Maybe I don't have to make this huge thing right now. And I can just pull one of those episodes and make like an 8 minute short film and see where it goes, where it's able to blend that comedy that Little Issues has and my very personal sobriety story.
Gotcha. And then so that is that done? Is that happening or?
That's in the works. I have a script that I'm editing, and now it's just a matter of how do I pay for it? That's really
Okay.
always the like Little Issues was like all self-funded, and very, very low budget. It was like I knew I had a friend that had a camera, and so I was like, tell me what I need to rent and I'll rent that, but tried to get as much of like people that had stuff, and we shot it in his apartment, so like location was free, and you know I knew everyone from a different part of my life. I didn't have to like go online and search for people, and so I was really able to throw that together within like a month of deciding I wanted to do it.
That's the director. The director who had like Gerald.
That was my DP, my director Jarrah. He's one of my close friends. I'm getting coffee with him later this week, and I just one of those people I always trust his opinion and send him any scripts I have with it. And he has such a background on sketch comedy that I was like, I want you to do this. And I knew he was about to go out of town to shoot a pilot presentation. He was going to be gone for a few months. So I was like, all right, you leave in a month. We're going to shoot on this day. Cool. And he was like, yep, let's go. And so that was my sort of motivation and like time crunch to be able to get this film rolling.
Gotcha. And then who had you, did you help edit the film then?
I had my friend Ethan Bleach, who I met from we went to school together, but didn't know each other until after we graduated and I moved to LA and we were introduced. And so he is an editor. That's his full-time job. And so he edited and he put it all together. And then I was with him. We had like two sessions where I was with him and tweaked like every sort of every millisecond, moved these beats and stuff like that. And then it went to our friend Sachin, who did the coloring.
The coloring
So,
it. Cool. So yeah, so I think you're like onto something. I think this is a like you said, in terms of the story beats, in terms of like, because then when this film got passed to me, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna watch the film. And then it was like, oh, there's something here. There's like it's funny, and it doesn't stop, and it feels like it's like a, you know, it's funny because it feels like it's just like it's an 8 minute film, but it's actually a 4 minute film. And it's like, oh, there's something profound here. Like, it's like not just like let's just make fun of the guy with the small penis, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
So you, because it's like, yeah, let's we can listen, men need to be make fun of more, but at the same time, it's like,
Yeah,
but you know what
it
I mean?
still is, and Dra, my director, helped me with that too, where, it was three more pages and he's like, we don't need, we get it. He has a small penis. Like, we don't need to make three extra pages of jokes, cut it down to this, send it back to me. And so it was great having, that extra, not only we don't need to make fun of someone's body that long, but also just the purpose of comedy. Like, is this really pushing the story forward? And having someone by my side to help me through that.
That's great. That's great advice. Less, it's like a less is more, right? So it's like
Yeah.
you're repeating the comedy. Sometimes when you repeat the, it's still funny, but you're still repeating the same comedic beat, right? And it's not
Yeah.
pushing the story forward. So you do have to remove it, right? So, well, yeah, and it's like I think that because you got me thinking. I'm like, because that's like something that I watch a lot, like in terms of like drinking, alcoholism. Obviously, these are more dramatic films, right? But I haven't seen really a comedic version of that. I think Loudermilk maybe is the
Yeah.
only thing I can think of
And
off top.
there's Mom. I just started rewatching that actually. But that also has, I was watching that yesterday and had to turn it off because I was crying because there was a death. Like, they deal with a lot of hard stuff in life, but it is a multicam comedy. And that's, again, one of, especially because you're seeing people, and there are some relapses in that show, but like, you're seeing people in sobriety, and so much of the film, as you know, about recovery is seeing people in their lowest moments. And it's triggering, like, straight up. And I remember when I was a few months sober and I had never seen A Star Is Born, and one with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, and my parents put it on, and they knew I was sober, and they knew, and there's this scene, and I was not really paying attention. I had no idea that he plays an addict in that at all. And there's a scene where he just like falls into the bushes because he's so plastered. And again, I was still only 6 months sober, so it was still like pretty fresh compared to like now. And I just started crying because I was so, there's, the shame from like, that's what I lived. And then there's also the craving to just fuck up my life again. Excuse me. But like, sometimes it's that, wow, I see someone at their lowest point in the film, and I still, for some reason, crave that. Like, I crave that self-destruction of like, oh, my life's going okay, I'm just gonna drink and blow it up because I'm too uncomfortable. And so, recognizing that and recognizing, Jana, you don't actually want to blow up your life. That's just your alcoholism talking. But, if this movie is too much, we don't have to watch it right now.
No, it's very profound. Yeah, it's like because like you're 100% right. It's like you said it very honestly. Like that's the self-destruction of it, right? It's like that's addiction. It's like the gambler who like secretly wants to lose, right? Like that's it's the alcohol the alcoholic who secretly wants to blow everything up, right? Because that's what because they yeah they're uncomfortable, so they might as well blow, yeah. What you said was great. So I think that's a really good teaser, what you just said, as a linchpin for a film in a lot of ways, right? But I know it's been done a lot, but there's always an original point of view. So I think what you
Yeah.
just said is it a is a, is a, is a, is an original point of view. I really believe that. So
Yeah, and that, the difference between Little Issues, which was inspired by, but still very much the characters are created just from my imagination, but I can't. Yes, I can, of course, tweak my own story and make it funnier for TV, but like I'm telling my story. So there's a lot more confidence in that of like, I can't really do it wrong. Some people can just not like how it's done, but you can't dislike the story because it's mine and it's true.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, but in Star is Born, like he's a successful, like functioning alcoholic, right?
Yeah.
So you never watched the previous like incarnations. You never watched the Barbra
No.
Streisand version
I
or
never
no.
watched. And then I remember my friend was like, told me about how, you know, oh, and then he dies. And I'm like, what? And he's
Yeah.
like, Jenna, there's been like five of these movies. Like, I'm not spoiling anything. It's been out for years. Like,
Yeah.
you can't be mad at me for this.
Yeah. He did a good job as an alcoholic.
Yeah.
He really did.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper. Yeah. So, all right. Well, congratulations. I'd love to talk to you
Thank
again.
you.
And when you keep making movies, I know there's a lot of moving parts and stuff like that. But even a film like this is like, it's like, look at, we're talking right now. And it's like, I'm not saying it didn't cost money, but you have
Yeah.
two. And by the way, your two co-stars, like fantastic, because it's like
Thank you.
they're really just like they could almost be thankless roles because they're just setting you up, but they're great, they're fantastic,
Thank
right?
you.
So like meaning that, you know what I mean, they brought depth to these characters.
Yeah.
They there's like they're three-dimensional characters, you
Thank
know what I mean?
you.
So very good writing, but they really hit it home. So work with them again if you can.
I definitely will. Thank you. All
All right, well, congratulations, and let's talk again when you make your next film.
right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.